Ghana is collaborating with international security agencies to deal effectively with the issue of some Ghanaian youth joining the terrorist group ISIS. The recruits, who are reported to use Burkina Faso and Niger as their entry points, are believed not to be causing trouble. The National Security Coordinator Yao Donghor disclosed this at a meeting with executives of the Ghana Journalists Association and some senior journalists in Accra.
They said they've been monitoring the travel for some time now, and they confirmed that some Ghanaians have joined ISIS and that they are monitoring them. And then the trend is outward in the sense that they are leaving but not returning. So this makes it a bit manageable. But you can just imagine if they go and come, all their mentality, brainwashed mentality, this will, I believe, change the security complexion of this country.
That means the national security is actually aware that there are more people who have joined.
They are aware, and they indicated that suspect institutions are the universities. No matter your educational background, our youth are so vulnerable, and some will gobble whatever mental food is served on social media. And socially determined content is so powerful that people go to the site unhindered, they search information, they believe whatever is put on information, and the information put on social media is so juicy that, for instance, some are promised fuel, juicy packages, tantalizing packages if they join ISIS. And what makes them so vulnerable is the status of unemployment. Unemployment is an issue, and as the saying goes, the devil finds jobs for idle hands. So because they are idle, many of them are inclined to jump on board the ISIS bandwagon. And according to them, they're also looking at some legal engineering to make it an offense for anyone who joins ISIS and returns. Because no law frowns on joining ISIS and returning to Ghana to do whatever they want to do. And at the same time, social media, you know, is so accessible that anybody at all can go to the site.
But were they able to tell us what measures they have in place to address what is actually happening now?
They are looking at sensitization. We need to leverage the power we hold and influence we peddle as a media system to educate our youth to understand that there's no place like home. And if you allow yourself to be enticed by tantalizing offers, that, oh, if you join ISIS, you know, your situation will change. There will be a fortune. You know, the whole place is littered with gold and honey. It is not true. They also indicated that they have this program with Chief Imam to visit communities, to visit mosques, to visit areas where they suspect that people can easily get on board the ISIS bandwagon.
But one would wonder, if national security had a hint of this, why were they silent till the journalists brought this issue of the KNUSD guy who joined the ISIS?
But you know how they operate. Sometimes they have to, you know, put their surveillance systems in place to monitor a trend before arriving at it. And what they told us was that they are teaming up with international agencies to deal effectively with the situation.
You have the GJA president in that interview with George Asikari.
Meanwhile, a Muslim scholar, Sheikh Karimayao Shaibu, says there is an urgent need for serious scrutiny of the content of messages Islamic scholars present on radio and television. Same must also apply to teachers in the various mosques across the country. Speaking on Unique Breakfast Drive, he said the various mosques are vulnerable because they are open for all manner of Muslim preachers who are most times not known. He added that for security reasons, now is the time to be worried about the current happenings with regard to young people joining militant groups.
We must now be mindful of the preachers that come into our domain. Any new preacher who comes in, we need to understand his background, what kind of Islamic philosophy or ideology he holds. What is the content? How dangerous is the content, or how safe is the content of his message? These things are very important for us, for those of them who appear both on radio and television, and those who are given opportunity to also preach in mosques. You know, in our mosques, ours is not like a membership, and any other preacher is given is so open and permissive. So any preacher is allowed to enter into any mosque sometimes, so receptive, We don't care where he's coming from, and then he begins to preach. For security reasons, now is the time for us to be worried and to set the standard of preaching, that people come into our to preach. Then we want to catch the children as young as we find them in our schools. The virtues of tolerance, the virtues of dialogue, virtues of love, sympathy, empathy. These are the virtues that are so germane to a peaceful transmission of Islam to anybody, and to also to reject the idea that Islam is an ideology or a political ideology that intends to take over the authority and control of the world. It is not true by any standard, from any source. It is not true that Islam intends as an ideology to take over the world.
Cry Newtown, and if you go there and you see how the youth are really involved into this social media thing at the various cafes in Accra, some of them even spend their whole night there. And that's a very serious worrying situation for us.
The breakdown of the family, I find it worrying, and something I find it very difficult to understand. Why a parent will sleep comfortably in his room, and at 12 midnight, his son, a very young son, is found in, call it, internet cafe. What kind of parent is that? That child, does he have a mother? Does he have a father?
You heard the Muslim scholar Sheikh Karimaya Shaibu talking to George Sapo.
Expressing his views on the recruitment of Ghanaians into ISIS, a lecturer at the Center for International Studies at the University of Ghana, Legon, Dr. Ken Ahosu, says he is not that surprised at the confirmation by national security that some Ghanaian graduates are being recruited into Islamist insurgent organizations. He is of the view that the development of fundamental spirit in the youth has become global as a result of religious militancy. For him, it is important for parents to keep close watch on their children to know what they are doing and where their interest lies. Government also needs to review some of its social policy programs to create jobs for the people.
This is not a surprise at all, because I have spoken at different fora and have written on these issues that there is a need to engage the youth, particularly along religious lines. Because the philosophy, it's not religion, is a philosophy that is limited. Just as we have today in Ghana, whereby a lot of people are praying in tongues, a lot of people have become charismatic, it has become fashionable to be what? A fundamental Christian. The causes of these things, or the motivation of these things, are largely the sociocultural challenges that we are facing, the social change, the problems that it is posing to society. Let's take it for example. Ideally, the idea for a student is that I go to school after graduation, I have a good job, settle down well, have a family. But then we have come to realize that things are not what they should be, or things are not as easy as they are. So this has put a lot of pressure on people, and in our kind of society, people tend to what? God. People tend to religion as the only form of what? Salvation, or as the only form of motivation. Now, the closer you get to God, that the deeper you get with God, the more fundamental you become in your religion. God, the prayer, answering God. And I think these are the things that are motivating people as to take them. So the idea of what? Islam fundamentalism in Egypt is the same as it is in Ghana. What is important here is that our society, our government, our community, our family should embrace their children and talk to them in time, difficult times like this, why certain things are happening, and have that type of what, nurturing spirit, so that people will not feel alienated from society. There is a difference between looking for a job as a military personnel when there is a war going on somewhere, and then there is difference being what, a religious militant. The idea is that even if I die, I will be doing the will of God, and in heaven, I will be better off. So it's a very important thing. What I'm most concerned about is that people are talking to national security, people are talking to the security agents to find solutions to it. There is no solution, military solution to religious fundamentalism. And the Americans have learned that the hard way and realized that you can have all the B-52 bombers, whatever, and go into a society and try to impose your will on a religiously active society. But then what is important is that we must use what, religious leaders, community leaders, we must use psychologists, we must use people who know what the philosophy is, what is the motivation behind it. Because there are two things that have been saying in religious conflict. One is motivation and one is mobilization. People joining ISIS or joining Al-Qaeda or that sort of thing, it's a a sign of what? Or an element of mobilization, but not necessarily motivation. And until we find what is motivating them and address that, there is nothing that can stop someone who is motivated us to join this religious organization.
You heard a lecturer at the Center for International Studies at the University of Ghana, Lagos, Dr. Ken Ahosu.
Now, still staying with the ISIS issue, an international relations expert, Dr. Alhaji Rashid Pelpo, says the drive to join ISIS is because the insurgent groups want to create an enclave with a radical and deadly vision. He said that material gain being reported on social media is another motivating factor, which is in the long run a hoax.
Let me admit that it's a thing of worry for us to begin to see a new wave of drift towards the ISIS, which is a terrorist organization, an organization that is frightening people because of their ways of prosecuting their objectives in the wake of their internal and external conflict. The part of the worry is that they are becoming attractive not just to people in the African regions, but also in the first world. We have lots of British moving to ISIS. You have Australians moving to ISIS. Young ladies and men moving to ISIS. Despite the dangers and the threatening massacre of people as it occurs, and etc., etc. You begin to find a good reason to explain why people should be doing that. The closest answer is that people are curious about exactly what ISIS is all about, and they want to find out. The whole idea starts from the fact that they want to create an Islamic enclave within the Levant. The Levant is made up of Iran, Iraq, then the Syria and Lebanon area. They want to create that enclave as an Islamic zone, an Islamic enclave, and control it with the powers of a caliphate. It's the reason they are driving their efforts. But they also have a feeling of a purity Islamic conception of reality, meaning that they want to see that every person within that enclave is a Muslim. But their methods are very aggressive. Their methods are deadly. Their methods are terrorizing people. And you still see young people drifting there. I can see the reason being that people want to be associated with them because they are curious to know what is happening. Secondly, their materials people read in the internet and other sources of print media are getting attractive to them. And thirdly, they may be offering them some material gain, which definitely is not the case at all if you go there. You might be surprised to find that you get into a trap and you cannot move away. Quite recently, there's a case like that in which some people moved from Australia and went there and were eager to run back to their countries. They were finding it difficult to leave. So it's a big problem. And we need to begin to educate people to clear their mentality about the feeling that something else will be better than what is in Ghana. I can see the three reasons are key. One for material things, two for a feeling that there's a curiosity they want to find out exactly what is happening. And there's a third one, which is about maybe a religious flavor, that when you go there and you die, you go to heavens and all that.
On the migration crisis, Dr. Pelpo said Africa is a better place with all the freedom. Ghanaian and African youth should desist from fearing poverty and work hard on their land to make life worthwhile.
There's a very complex mentality, social, psychological challenge with our young people who believe very strongly that anywhere else besides where you stay in Africa is better than in Africa. If you stay in Ghana, you think that Spain is better, Italy is better, UK is better, because people come back with funny stories about how they have been successful and they try to go there. Nobody is thinking about making life worthy within their own environs. But I have been to all these places. I have seen the land. I have seen that the African land is better. I have seen that I can walk throughout the year on our streets bare-chested without having cold, without dying of anything. You can't do that in those countries. I know that I can plant anywhere else in Ghana and I'll get good yields. They have finished development. They have finished utilizing their land. They are hungry to come to Africa to look for wealth. It is time for us to begin to teach children and our young people to begin to look at within inside us. The opportunities to develop are all in Africa now. Africa is a new place to come. So the fear of poverty, the desire to exploit, to get new pastures anywhere else is what is driving our young people to go out. And it is killing them, and we need to ensure that we bring them the right kind of education that will let them utilize the land and opportunity here to make life worthy. And I think that it lies squarely on policy and policy making. Governments must begin to re-examine the policies that we are making. We need to capture the imagination of young people through initiatives that can let them stay in Ghana and elsewhere rather than moving out into other countries. One can understand the Libyans. You can understand the Syrians, the Lebanese, when they are running away from their country because of the torture of war, the destruction of property and life. But it is difficult to understand a Ghanaian who lives in peace, who has all the things, the opportunities available here to make it, to make life a happy one, and then they are drifting towards somewhere else. I have seen Ghanaians elsewhere. I've seen them in the UK, in America, who want to come home because they feel they are suffering. And still you see people here wanting to kill themselves. They work, they get money. The money is, can be used to reinvest in their lives, to be able to make life meaningful. And yet they use it to bribe people to get visa, to go and suffer, to go and enslave themselves. I think that we need to point out those opportunities for our young people, and we need to work on their psychology and their mentality.
Dr. Rashid Pearl sharing his views on how to stop the migration.
Yakub Shaib Abin of the Al Sunnah group said news of recruitment of Ghanaian youth into ISIS is very shocking. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Alhaji Abin said personally he does not think it is just about money, but religious fundamentalism. He said parents should play a lead role in molding the conscience of their children. He spoke to Saidu Mutawakil.
We've received this kind of information with shock, and we cannot fathom why something of this nature would happen in Ghana, especially when we demonstrated amply that we are not interested in these kind of things. We have hammered on this issue of these resurgent groups, and I believe that, you know, it happening at all suggests that something is amiss, right?
Why do you think our youth will have to subject themselves to these groups? Do you think it's just for economic gains or religious fundamentalism?
Well, I don't think this, for me, I'm speaking personally as an individual, and I don't think that this thing has anything to do with the economic gains. I think it borders on fundamentalism. It borders on somebody being indoctrinated without us knowing, because maybe we've been that lax. We have trusted ourselves so much so that we thought something of this nature would not happen in our country, and unfortunately it has happened. So I think it doesn't bother us. It's somebody who has been educated up to a tertiary level, and of course had parents to pay his tuition fee and all that to get to that level. So I don't think it's about money. And moreover, he's either doing his national service or has just done his national service. So he can tell you that he's not somebody who has been roaming the society looking for a job and has not gotten. And so that prompted him to do that kind of thing. It's something maybe that somebody has indoctrinated him and he's told a line and has fallen into that kind of unfortunate trap.
What is Al-Sunnah doing as a religious group doing about this?
We are coming out with a press conference. So early next week, we are coming out with a press conference to state our position on the matter clearly. To all and sundry.